Hey, welcome friends to Inverse, a Bible study show discussion on topics that pertain to all aspects of life. My name is Justin Kim, and in the studio with me, we have Jonathan Israel and Siku. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello.
I like to mention Siku last, because it's just not that you're most diminutive of the four of us, but you are the most climactic of the French. Anyway, so hey, we want to welcome you guys out there as well. And we want to alert you that we are closing, we're nearing our study in the arc on studying, what are we studying? On the great controversy, this cosmic war between good and evil. And so far, we've received a lot of feedback and messages and notes from you guys. We want to say thank you for that. And if you have any questions or if you have any other comments, feel free to visit our social media platforms on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, and just let us know how we're doing. We are in episode 11 called The Cosmic Verdict. Cosmic Verdict. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guides there. You can also go and download the app on the Apple and the
Android
platforms. Type in Sabbath School and download the app with the blue icon. And you have all the wonderful, well-designed Bible study guides from Inverse. If you don't know already, Inverse is a play on words. It's we're in the verse, but also an inverse way of looking at things, of which we try to do here, sometimes successfully and sometimes not so successfully.
Successfully.
We don't do it well all the time. So we're going to go into Leviticus 16. Israel, can you pray for us?
Yeah, let's pray. Yeah. Father in heaven, we appreciate the opportunity that we have every time we come to study your word. And we ask now that you would give us your spirit to help us to not just read it, but to also understand it, and most importantly, to apply it to our lives today.
Amen.
And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Siku, what's been some of your favorite episodes from this quarter?
I really like the one on choice.
Choice.
Yeah.
Free will.
Free will.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really like the one on the Word of God, actually. Mm. It kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Word of God, but that the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Israel? Favorite
Surprisingly,
episode?
Yeah, the one on the Word of God.
Word of God.
Yeah, that's probably been my favorite.
Yeah. Why?
The only one who remembers.
Yeah, at the moment, it's the only one I can think about.
That's not true.
Just kidding.
That's not true, Jonathan. That's not true. Please apologize.
I apologize already.
Just kidding, yeah. I think in that episode, I was able to hear, you know, from
everyone others.
Else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that episode too.
Mm-hmm. And then also,
we have a tendency to kind of wax eloquent and talk about theoretical, philosophical, theological stuff, but actually seeing what we do and how our experiences match up to that, it's also it's refreshing once in a while.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but once in a while, it's all right.
And it's also good to kind of reflect for personal reasons. Like you get strength through the experiences of other people, and then you also get strength in a different way from your own experience.
True.
And so recalling, you know.
The word of your testimony.
Yeah, and it's just a reoccurring joke, but it's real that Jonathan, you wrote this this quarter, and we just want to say thank you. Like, it encapsulates a lot of the themes that we've been talking about in other
seasons
for sure. And this clearly just very systematically and very thoroughly addresses a lot. And the implications for this cosmic war that we're in about how we, Siku, like how we do our relationships, our devotional lives, but also personal ethics and personal relationship. I mean, it just has so many implications. And so I want to applaud your efforts and that you did not write this season in vain, so to speak. Jonathan, what were some of your favorite episodes from this quarter?
I think I have to go back to the victory of the cross.
Okay.
Because like for me, that is kind of the central point of it all, is like how God's character is on display in the life and death of Jesus, and how the cross is not just this little fluffy thing. It's like the key to ending this great controversy, the key for our salvation. It's just like, you know, it's the key to everything.
Yeah.
And to me, that's always, I just love that topic. So mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. my favorite.
Mm-hmm. My favorite is the one, I forgot what the title of the episode was, but it was the one on the Psalm. I don't know which, I forget which Psalm. But the throne on righteousness and justice.
The foundation of his
throne. The foundation of his throne.
97?
Probably because, 97. It was 97?
Yeah.
I thought it was 94, 97, but 90s. Well, you guys are right. You guys are probably right. Because we never actually studied it. Mm-hmm. There are some passages that we do here on Inverse that we've studied a billion times. Acts 15.
Like the one today.
The one today. I think Revelation 12. And some of those are core passages that we should study over and over again. But Psalms 97, probably not a core psalm, although as amazing as it is. Mm-hmm. But going through it verse by verse, it's always a pleasure. And I'm not just saying that because we're on TV, but really sitting down with the three of you and going line by line and reading through and doing a Bible study together, mm-hmm. It's really cool. Well, a lot of Bible studies, you listen to one person do it, or no one knows what's going on. You're trying to figure out what's going on. But to have three other people who we share the knowledge together, you know, and in parts we don't know, and we pray about it.
If I can give a plug that you should make right now, you know, to our viewers and listeners, like they could have the same experience if they have a little small group of friends and they use our study guide. If you go to inversebible.org, you'll find those study guides right there. A lot of them for the last couple of years. You just go and hit download. And,
there you go. Oh, wonderful.
Am I doing a good job,
you can
Justin?
Be a co-host, man. That's awesome.
I think he wants to be the host.
Okay. Want to be the host. No, all good. Right. Yeah. We can call it outverse. Outverse and inverse. Hey, we are in Leviticus 17 and 16. This is a long chapter, and maybe we'll read. How should we approach this? I don't want to read the entire chapter, but maybe mm-hmm. we read a couple of verses to see where the apex is, and then we can talk about this day of atonement. Now, some of you will know exactly what the Day of Atonement is, and God bless you. Some of you are like, what is that, and what does that have to do with me at all? Well, it has to do with goats, and it has to do with a strong man, and then it's just a lot of good stuff.
I wonder, unless you already have a section from chapter 16, as the author of this lesson.
Oh, okay.
No, I just, Paul, if you wanted something shorter,
go for it.
Chapter 23 gives verses 26 to...
Chapter 23?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gives us a short version of the atonement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then we can still go to chapter 16.
Very cool. So chapter 23 of Leviticus, verse 26 to 32.
Yeah.
Is that the section you're talking about? Okay. Yeah. And Siku, can you read that for us?
Sure. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath."
Well, okay, wonderful. Thank you, Siku. My understanding is, and you guys can fill in, and I'll just go to really, really quick, is there were many holidays in the ancient Hebrew culture, and one was called the Day of Atonement, where in the other 359 days of the year, 360 in total, but 359 days, that blood and sin and all these services, the direction would be going into the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So if I did something bad, let's say I punched Siku, I would repent to her and I would go into the temple and I would bring my lamb. And then the order of which it happened was all my sins were being taken away from me, placed unto the lamb. The lamb's blood would be transferred into the sanctuary. And the sanctuary was a depository for all the bad stuff, not just me, but also Siku's and Israel's and Jonathan's, and it's also yours. But on this one day, this Day of Atonement, would be the day where now not not the sins are going in, but now the sins are coming out, meaning the sanctuary itself is being cleansed. So what were some of the there's a lot of micro details here, and you guys can read Leviticus 16, but some high points of these details. There were two goats that were chosen, yes. One was used to transfer all the sins of the entire nation, mm-hmm. and that one goat would die, yes. Mm-hmm. And all these sins would be transferred to the second goat. And so where you get the word scapegoat from, that would be all the blame placed on the scapegoat.
Yeah.
Super Arnold Schwarzenegger strong man would come, and an Austrian would come, and then take this goat and go into the wilderness, and this goat would die of mm-hmm. natural causes, right? Yeah. No one killing. So the first goat would point it to Jesus, the one who died for us and transferred the sin away from us. And the second goat pointed to Satan, who in the end, all the blame of all the bad stuff, all the sin, ultimately goes back to Satan. Mm. All right, so that's a long chapter encapsulated. Did I miss anything? Any other details you guys want to add? Jonathan?
Chapter 16, verse 30.
Okay, chapter 16,
read
verse
that.
30.
Speaking of the Day of Atonement, it says,
please.
For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, so experientially for the Israelites, we have to understand that all these holidays, all these rituals were all a 4D lesson or object lesson mm-hmm. of the ministry of Jesus, okay, mm-hmm. of the work of salvation. What is Jesus going to do in the mm-hmm. future? And all of these things, they by faith believed and received forgiveness, all these things. Mm-hmm. But these were an object lesson, like a model of what Jesus will then do in the future when he comes, when he dies, when he's resurrected, when he's serving as the high priest in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was all pointing forward to that work.
Mm-hmm.
But experientially for them, each year was kind of like a cycle. Okay, mm-hmm. so you have the daily things that you mentioned, but it was not just the work of salvation. You know, I think of 1 John 1:9, where God says, you know, he's not only forgiving our sins, he's also cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So salvation is not just forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. It's also a transformation that takes place. And so for an Israelite, you know, you punch Siku, you sorry, and you ask for forgiveness, right, mm-hmm. from her, and mm-hmm. then also with God, you know, mm-hmm. make things right.
Mm-hmm.
But has your heart changed? Do you still want to punch her when you get angry with her? I'm exaggerating here, but
yeah.
like that change is something that also happens by the blood of the Lamb, by faith in the Messiah. And so throughout the year, this was the question: are you not just receiving forgiveness, but also are you also experiencing a transformation? And the Day of Atonement was kind of like a moment to reflect: am I like? Has the sacrifice that was made for me truly had its effect in my life,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time of, as we read earlier, of self-reflection and making things right mm-hmm. with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's the blood of Jesus you need, right? But it is...
And it's not that self-reflection is saving you.
No,
right?
No.
So we do believe that the blood of the animal pointed to the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus forgives if should I hit, you know, anyone, not just Siku, right? But if I do anything bad, mm-hmm. that the blood of Jesus forgives me, cleanses me. But that blood of Jesus, and this was what actually was very powerful for my conversion mm-hmm. experience, because understanding forgiveness and what we call justification, mm-hmm. no problem, man.
Right.
Hey, God forgives you. God's good. I got that. It took me a very long time to understand that not only does God forgive, but he transforms you supernaturally inside to make sure that you never even want to punch Siku or anyone ever again.
Yeah.
Like he gives you a new heart that the gentleness or the patience or the whatever, all the good stuff that Jesus promised, so that the blood of Jesus is transformative.
Yes.
And so the Day of Atonement was a time where you're reflecting on those components.
Exactly. Yeah. And it basically, if you are experiencing victory in your life, you know, so like it was a powerful time. And that is an aspect that Christianity is kind of not talking about a lot.
Mm.
We love forgiveness, but we don't talk much about the sanctification, the transformation part, because it's just, I guess, the harder part in a way, because that's where you make decisions every day by God's grace mm-hmm. to do right and follow mm-hmm. his will. But the Day of Atonement was a time, so it was, it had to do with our personal experience, but also it was also dealing in the context of the great controversy that we're talking about with these greater realities, like, hey, there is someone to, there is an instigator of rebellion, the scapegoat, right?
Yes.
And God is teaching the Israelites in the Day of Atonement and us, you know, that we can know that, yes, justice will prevail. There will be an end to sin. Mm-hmm. And there are consequences, mm-hmm. right? There are consequences for the people. Those who do not want the salvation are cut off.
Yeah.
They're not part of the Israelites anymore.
Yeah.
And there's consequences for the one who caused it all, Satan. He will be destroyed. He will.
So ultimately,
die in the end.
All the bad stuff goes yes. back to the originator of the
yes.
bad stuff.
Yes.
But if we don't want to let go of that bad stuff, it still remains with us.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So we have an option.
Exactly. And so this whole process was, back then, was a miniature version of what the Bible calls the judgment. And the whole judgment process is what the Day of Atonement kind of, you know, in a little model version tries to teach us. Mm-hmm. That in the end, God is there's going to be an investigation of people's lives. Are they truly, you know, converted, truly love walking with Jesus so that, you know, he can know who to take to heaven? And then also a dealing with Satan and the demons. There has to be an end to all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's beautiful that in the Old Testament, the people were already taught that God's salvation is going to be complete and justice will prevail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's encouraging to note that the two goats that were there on the Day of Atonement, the one, you know, the high priest confesses the sins mm-hmm. of the people onto his head and symbolically, you know, after sacrificing, they symbolically carries those sins in, you know, to go cleanse out the sins out of the sanctuary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he brings them out and lays the sins symbolically onto the head of the scapegoat. Mm. And that scapegoat doesn't die for their sins.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a sin-bearing right. sacrifice right. that atones for anyone's sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's more laying the responsibility, the ultimate responsibility onto the scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
I like that in that, you know, yes, Jesus took our, he bore our sins for us, but ultimately the consequences, the result, the negativity, all the bad stuff, like goes back to the originator of it, mm-hmm. right?
The guilt.
Yeah, the guilt for it goes mm-hmm. back to the devil who started this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so through Christ, that's why through Christ we have salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't carry our sins for all eternity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it's not like he's walking around all guilty in heaven for the rest of eternity.
Mm-hmm. He took the blow of justice for us.
Right, yeah. right. Mm-hmm. And so I like that there's a kind of finality and it resonates like with your sense of justice,
yeah.
you know. Of
well,
like,
I think it's full circle. Mm-hmm. This chapter, this Day of Atonement really puts an end to this. What do I want to say? Like without the Day of Atonement, it's like, hey, we'll just sin forever, mm-hmm. and we ask for forgiveness forever,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus keeps on forgiving forever.
Yeah.
Dot
no
dot
sense.
Dot forever. Like that's just. Mm-hmm. But Day of Atonement is like no. There's a time period where that's not the case, right? Because with enough forgiveness and with enough of God's grace to transform, there will be a finality to this. There's got to be an end point to this.
This is crucially important, I think, within the context of our role in the great controversy.
Mm.
So the problem with sin in that, first of all, it does attack the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that,
mm-hmm.
it also separates us from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sin causes a separation between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the Day of Atonement was supposed to teach us, I wrote it down here. First of all, it acknowledges the authority of the law of God. And this is critical because Satan's goal was to do away with the authority of the law of
mm-hmm.
God. That's the whole premise. Yeah, that's the whole premise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Day of Atonement is a reminder and an acknowledgement of the authority of God's law. It's not something that can be done away with. It's something that is binding. Secondly, it provides a way for us to confess our guilt in transgressing the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
When we fall, we needed to provide a way for us to be able to acknowledge and then confess our guilt. We are the problem. The law of God is not the problem. Satan would say, it is the law of God that's a problem, not me. Mm-hmm. When we come, the Day of Atonement teaches us when we come to the sanctuary, actually, no, the law is perfect. I am the problem, and I confess my guilt in transgressing the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then it allows, thirdly, for the expression of our desire for pardon through faith in a Redeemer. It gives us an avenue. The sanctuary service was to give us an avenue by faith in a Redeemer that would be able to pardon our sins when we had the desire for this pardon.
Mm-hmm.
The final component, which is what you were alluding to a little bit ago, is that there, for my sake, not just for God's sake or for anyone else's sake, but for my sake, it brings hope in the fact that there is a time when everything comes to an end,
mm-hmm.
when sin is completely separated from me
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I was separated from God because of my sin, now sin will be separated from me mm-hmm. forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I will then be able to experience, and this has been ultimately, which is incredible because ultimately God's purpose has always been union with his people.
Mm-hmm.
And his desire has always been for his people to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the accusation that Satan twisted. So now sin, we're separated from sin. We are with God as a result of the separation from sin. We are with God forever, and we have the ability to experience this communion with God, with mm-hmm. us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are the elements which the sanctuary service and the Day of Atonement were to teach us personally,
mm-hmm.
that there's going to come a time when sin will be done away with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the Day of Atonement also brings element of something that we call judgment, yeah? Mm-hmm. How does that happen? how do we weave that in? You know, how is cleansing and judgment? I mean, how do we get there,
mm-hmm.
John?
Well, I think I mentioned a little bit earlier that in the there is an searching of the hearts of the people,
yeah.
and during the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
In fact, I think there was a time, like a couple of days before the Day of Atonement, there were trumpets that were sounding,
mm-hmm.
and to remind people it's coming up, like it's get ready. Which is alluded to in the book of Revelation, but we're not going to get into all that. But it's fascinating because so there's an investigation of their own hearts, right?
Mm.
Are they right with God? They don't want to be cut off. You know, I don't want to be cut off from God's people. Like, am I right with God? Am I trusting in the blood of the Lamb, right? And so that's taking place on a Day of Atonement. On a judgment level, which Jesus as our high priest is engaging in right now, according to prophecy. He is investigating right now the hearts of all those who claim that they are part of God's people, right? Those who are dead and those who are living.
Mm.
And because he's coming soon, he, not just him, but the Bible describes in the book of Daniel that this is a whole courtroom experience. There's millions of angels. Everyone's involved.
Yeah.
They're making sure that those who are going to be saved for all eternity are, you know, that they were truly on the right side, that they were mm-hmm. truly had given their lives to God, according to the understanding. And so he's investigating that right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So that element of the atonement is what we call in theology the investigative judgment. It's kind of the preparation for the second coming. And then the element of, you know, the justice part with the scapegoat. The Bible describes that after 1,000 years in Book of Revelation, chapter 20, 21, that there will be a final judgment, a final destruction of the wicked.
Mm.
That includes Satan. It actually says that the lake of fire, which is this fire that devours, is for Satan and the demons.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it will also be for those who choose to be on their side, who have made that choice, you know,
who refuse to separate themselves from sin, that
right.
God has provided the means to do
yes.
so.
Yes. And God gives them exactly what they want.
Mm.
So all of this was reflected in the Day of Atonement in a miniature form.
Mm-hmm.
But these are real realities that are going to take place in at the end of time.
You know what? When I had a privilege to travel to Tibet several
wow.
years ago, mm-hmm. and we were very far away from the great Himalayan mountains, and I saw the mountains from the distance. Like, dude, those are huge mountains. And then as we got close, we got to the foothills, and it was just these huge foothills. And when we got to the top, we saw over the top of these foothills, these even greater mountains. So we drove another 8 hours to get to those mountains. We get to the top. And over those mountains, we saw behind them these even ginormous, the largest pyramidal things from the distance. We had to drive like another 8 hours to get over there. And I was like, those have to be the Himalayas. Mm-hmm. And our tour guide was like, yeah. And it was, and he was laughing the whole time for 16 hours because he thought the small little foothills from like 16 hours ago, that those were the mountains. But when you're from, when you, I don't know if this makes sense, but from the beginning of the journey, when you see the foothills, the secondary mountains, and the third mountains, they all seem like from 2D perspective smashed right on top of each other. Yeah. But when you're traveling through them, you have to go through one hilltop, one mountaintop to another mountaintop to get to this to the third apex. So long illustration, but to say that scripture often takes judgment and kind of there's three components to the judgment. But it kind of smashes them all and kind of looks at them all in one perspective all the time. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, sometimes when I see judgment, I kind of get scared, you know? And I mix the investigative judgment with the millennial judgment with the end time judgment, you know, God's executive judgment. The investigative judgment that you talked about, it's not for us. And really, God doesn't need a judgment because he already knows who's good or bad.
Right.
But it's for all the angels that we talked about in a couple episodes.
Yeah.
The millennial judgment, it's not for the angels, but it's for those who are saved. And then the last judgment, it's for those who ultimately you're going to choose wickedness. There's these stages that are there. And I think that the conclusion thing is that God wants to cleanse the universe and has an orderly process by which he does that.
And in all of it, really, you know, God is on trial. That's the prime thing that this is all about.
Yeah.
You know, the accusations that Satan made in this great controversy against God. But also humans are on trial, and the demons are on trial. Like everyone's on trial in a way. The Satan is accusing us. He's the accuser. That's what Satan means, right? So like everyone's on trial, and this process cleans it up. It organizes things, and it brings justice. And in the very end, the Bible says that everyone will agree that God is just, that God is fair, that the accusations, even the wicked, that the accusations that were cast against God by Satan are not true, that God is truth. There will be a final agreement to all this. Now, it doesn't mean that people, the wicked will repent, but everyone will understand God is true, God is fair, God is love. And all these ideas and lies that have been floating around for the last couple thousand years will evaporate, and God can then finally bring an end to it all without anyone questioning his character, which is that's the whole point of this whole process, that he doesn't want in the end anyone to have questions about his character, but everyone to serve him because they love him.
Judgment can be a big scary topic, but there's one verse that comes to mind, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Israel wonderfully said that Jesus is in the business of separating us from sin. And it's only those who cling to sin at the end that God will give them what their heart ultimately wanted the entire time, sad to say. My prayer is like, Lord, help me separate the sin away from me and help develop a hatred for these things. I know that's the desire of my friends, and hopefully that's the desire for you guys out there. God bless you as we continue studying this topic on the Great Controversy. Stay with us next week as we continue looking at these aspects of the great cosmic war between good and evil. God bless you guys.